Well, it's good to be here with you today, and thank you for that special music today. It was beautiful, and God spoke to our hearts through it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Now, when we're finished reading this, don't throw your Bibles aside, because we're going to be looking this morning at how God reveals the Lamb to us. As we look into His Word and we look through the Scriptures, we want to just see what God says about His Lamb. But our text this morning is chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 4. A few years ago, I was at an evangelism conference, and Dr. Charles Sullivan, the former executive director of our state, was preaching a message entitled, The Progressive Revelation of the Lamb. And I wrote those notes down, and just the other day, God began to convict me about that message, and I began to go back and look at some things He said, and began to look at my notes again, and develop the message from that. So if you like the message, you can acknowledge me. If you don't like it, you can write Dr. Sullivan and tell him how rotten that it was. Hebrews chapter 11. No, don't do that, because Dr. Sullivan did a great job. And believe me, you're getting the down version of what he gave. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks to us. Though he died many, 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 many years ago, his action still speaks to us today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the blessings you've already given us this morning. Speak to us now. Change us, Lord, as we meet together in your presence. I pray this morning for any that is here that doesn't know you today, that has never met the Lamb. I pray, Father, that they come to an understanding of the Lamb of God today. And Father, I just pray that you speak to them and speak to their hearts. Draw them to your kingdom. Father, I pray for each of us that do know who you are. We've had a relationship with you. We've tried to walk with you. I pray, in the Father, that you will help us today to just see the Lamb, to see how precious and loving the Lamb is that you give to us. Father, I pray this morning for a fresh anointing of your Spirit. I pray for the words. I pray for the power. I pray for the authority to speak as only you can give it. Father, we give you the glory and praise now for what you'll do. Holy Spirit, move in this place as only you can do. Bring conviction upon every heart and every life, that we might be drawn closer to the Lamb of God today. Bless us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, we find the story of Abel and Cain, or Cain and Abel. Turn with me over to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, you will find the story of Cain and Abel. And for a long time, this passage puzzled me, because both of these young men are bringing an offering to God. And it would seem that everything should be okay. But there's a problem, and as God helped me to understand this passage of Scripture, the problem is the attitude in which they come. It's the way in which they come. You see, Abel came under humble submission unto God, willing to be obedient to God, willing to do that which God had told him to do. And by the way, we're never told in the Bible where worship started. We see Adam and Eve having a relationship with God. Sin comes into the world, but that relationship continues through the plan of God. We never know where the sacrificial system comes from. We don't know who told Cain and Abel to bring these sacrifices unto God. We're not told in the Scriptures. We just see that they're doing it. So it is something that just seems to be taking place. And as we see them coming, we see Abel coming, and he is coming under righteousness. He's coming to be in right standing with God, the Bible says. And God acknowledges his sacrifice. God acknowledges what he does, and God blesses him for it. Cain, on the other hand, comes with a different attitude. He comes and he says unto God, God, I can bring anything to you and it's okay. God, it doesn't matter what I bring. It doesn't matter what I present to you. I will just bring any old thing and lay it down. And God, you ought to be happy that I'm in worship. You ought to be happy that I showed up today. God, you ought to be happy that I'm here, and because I'm here, I can come in any way, any shape, any form. It doesn't matter, God, because I'm coming to be with you. Isn't that marvelous? You know, I'm afraid we have too many Cains in our world today. We think just anything is okay with God. We can bring anything to God, and it's okay. But listen to me for a moment. God rejected the sacrifice of Cain and accepted that of Abel. He rejected the sacrifice that Cain was bringing because Cain thought he could come in any fashion that he wanted to come, and it wasn't proper. You see, Cain went on with his life. He could live any way that he wanted as long as he went through the formal ritual that he'd been taught by his parents that he must meet with God in this way. And I'm afraid that that's true in too many of our churches and too many of our lives today. We think we can just walk into the presence of God any way that we decide. And we don't have to humble ourselves. We don't have to come in seeking God. We just ought to walk in, and God ought to be blessed because we're here. Abel was totally different. Abel comes in. He has the right spirit. He brings the right sacrifice. And his sacrifice testifies to us today. Because you see, the Bible teaches us in the first two chapters how God created the world. I don't care what scientists say, God created the world. And I think we ought to proclaim that all over the world today, that God made the world. It wasn't developed by some egg that busted or some other way that some nut dreams up. God told us how he did it. We ought to be old enough and wise enough to pay attention to what God says. But you see, when man gets smarter than God, they can do whatever they want. And then we find in Acts chapter, in Genesis chapter 3, we find the story about the fall of man, how sin comes into the world. And now in chapter 4, we see Cain and Abel coming into the presence of God. As they're coming into the presence of God, both of them brings an offering. One comes with a wrong attitude, the other one comes with a right attitude. And God says unto Cain, there is sin creeping into your life. There is sin at your door, and you can overcome that sin. And then God begins to give us a marvelous revelation, because now he begins to give us the revelation of the Lamb that is going to come. He begins here in verses 4 and 5 of Genesis chapter 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. And he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was angry, and his countenance fell. He came angry. He became angry because he was not bringing pleasure to God as he thought that he was. And you see, we see through this that there is a necessity of the Lamb to come. There is a necessity of the Lamb to come. It is necessary because sin in our lives. It is necessary because sin dominates us. It is necessary because sin can control us. It is necessary that we have a Lamb. But I want you to turn on with me now into the book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We find a marvelous story here. And as we see the story of Abraham and Isaac going to worship God, and as they're on their way to worship God. Now remember, God had already told Abraham in a dream, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Remember, he also had another son, but this is the only one that God was talking about. And God said, take your son, your only son, the one that was born to Sarah, and take him and sacrifice him on an altar. And they were on the way. And as they were on the way, they had everything that was needed for the sacrifice. And whenever they come into the site of the mountain where the sacrifice would be presented, the Bible tells us that Abraham leaves his servant there, and he takes Isaac, and he puts the wood on him, and he gets the fire, and he begins to walk towards the sacrifice. And as they're going, Isaac says something to Abraham. Look at it here in verse 7 of chapter 22. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You see, Isaac done this before. He knew what was going on. He was smart enough to understand that there wasn't no lamb for the worship. And he says, father, we've got everything here that we need to worship. But where's the lamb? And look at what Abraham says now in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went on together. Notice what happens. First off, God says there is a necessity for the lamb. Secondly, God says, I'll provide the lamb for you. He tells Abraham, I'm going to provide the lamb for you. Abraham and Isaac on their way to sacrifice and worship. Abraham says, God will provide the lamb. And you know the rest of the story. They get up on top of the mountain. He's about to put Isaac to death in a sacrifice. The angel appears, says, no, Abraham, don't do that. Stay your hand, Abraham. Stop. And he looks over, and just by accident, there was a ram over there caught in the thickets. Now, if you believe that, you're dumber than I think you are. That ram wasn't there by no accident. That ram was there because God placed it there that they might be a sacrifice unto him, because God provides the sacrifice. You see, the Lamb of God is necessary for you and I because we are sinners, and the Lamb of God will be provided by God. I want you to see a third thing about that lamb. Turn with me now into the book of Leviticus, the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. The book of Exodus, chapter 12, because God gives us another vision of this lamb that he's sending. Now, remember, it is necessary. Remember, God is going to provide it. But here's a third thing that he says about this lamb. Now, the story is the children of Israel are in Egypt. They're in bondage. And as they're in Egypt and in bondage, the Bible says that they begin to cry out to God. God sends Moses, and there's already been many signs and wonders that take place in Egypt. Now we're coming to the final sign. And as we get ready for the final sign, the death of the firstborn of those in Egypt. As we're getting ready for it, here's what the Bible says. Verse 3 of chapter 12. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for his household. Now, look on over and look on down into verse 13, because we're going to see what happens with the lamb. In verse 13, now, the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Look at what God says. God says it is necessary that there be a lamb. He says, I'll provide the lamb. Now he says that lamb's got to die, and his blood is what's going to cover us. And when God sees the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives, he'll pass over you. Isn't that marvelous? Too bad we're not Pentecostal, man. We'd be up shouting by now. You know, Baptists get excited. They go, yeah. Pentecostals, man, they just jump up and down and yell. Because, you see, it's the blood of the Lamb that washes away our sin. And that's what he's saying here. When I see the blood on the doorpost, I'll pass over you. When he sees the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives covering us, he passes over us. Well, I want you to see something else about the Lamb. Because God's not done. Look over in the book of Leviticus chapter 9. You see, God has told us that the Lamb is necessary. God has told us that he'll provide the lamb. God has told us that the lamb must die. Now look at what he says about the lamb. Chapter 9 of Leviticus, verse 3. And to the children of Israel, you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering. Now I want you to see something here. God is giving us a revelation of the lamb. And now he's telling us that this lamb must be without blemish. He can't have a spot on him. He can't just be anything that people decide to bring to God. It can't just be anything that I think is going to be pleasing to God. It can't just be anything along life's way. It has to be the lamb without blemish. Turn on with me into the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Because you see, God has shown us that a lamb is necessary. He has shown us that he will provide the lamb. He has shown us that the lamb must die and his blood must be smeared. He has shown us that the lamb must be without blemish. Now look into Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, I'm going to begin reading with verse 6. Really, I'm going to start with the last sentence of verse 5, but 6 and 7 is where we're reading. And by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before the shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He who declares his generation, he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Look at what it says. A marvelous revelation about the Lamb. No longer is the Lamb from a flock good enough. But now he says the Lamb will be a person. The Lamb is going to be a human being. The Lamb is going to be somebody that is needed in our world. The Lamb is going to be somebody that God has provided. The Lamb is going to be somebody that's going to die and shed his blood. The Lamb is going to be somebody without blemish. And now God says that Lamb of God is going to be a person that I'm sending for you. Now look on over into the Gospel of John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. We've already read this verse this morning. I was amazed when I come in this morning and saw the scripture that was up on the screen as Dennis was leading us in the opening this morning. Because this teaches us who the Lamb of God really is. You see, God says, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send you a lamb. And John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, is now out speaking and preaching. And as he's preaching, one day he looks up and he sees Jesus. Look at verse 29 of chapter 1 of John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, people, there he is. The prophets have talked about him. Scripture teaches about him. There he is, right over there in real life today. And that wasn't good enough, because we go on to the next day, and it's on the next day. Look on down to verse, 36. The next day, verse 35, and the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Isn't it marvelous? God has shown us that he's sending the Lamb. And now, for the first time, John the Baptist, standing there baptizing folks in the name of he that is going to come, looks up and said, There he is. I tell you, one of these days we're going to look up into the glory of heaven and we're going to know what John was talking about, because we're going to look up and somebody going to say, Look, 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 there he is. Behold, the Lamb is coming again. Amen. Don't get too excited now. My goodness, people, calm down. Brother Mike, I hear you all the way over there getting that excited. There's something else I want you to see about this lamb. Look at chapter 8 in the book of Acts. Chapter 8 in the book of Acts. Because this tells us now who this lamb is. Gives us a better description of him. Because in chapter 8, we have the story of Philip coming with the Ethiopian eunuch. They're talking together. Philip attaches himself to the chariot. He hears him reading scripture. The scripture that he's reading, by the way, is Isaiah 53. And as he's reading that scripture, he comes to a place where he understands a little bit about Jesus. Now look at verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Isn't it strange? This man understood that he needed to be baptized when he come to Jesus. I think that's marvelous. I love that passage. Philip did a great job. Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, and he said, Now this is the eunuch speaking. He answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that marvelous? The Lamb of God that is needful for you and I. The Lamb of God that God has provided for you and I. The Lamb of God that goes to the cross of Calvary, sheds his blood that his blood might cover us. The Lamb of God without blemish. The Lamb of God that is going to be a person. The Lamb of God that John has showed us is John the Baptist himself. Now the eunuch says, This is the Son of God. Amen. Well, I want you to look on, because I'm not done yet. Look on over into 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, you've been excited through all this about seeing the Lamb. You're really going to get excited now. Okay, so just hang on to your seats because I don't want none of you up, jumping up and down shouting or nothing. Because Peter tells us that the Lamb of God is our redemption. This same Lamb that God provided is our redemption. Look at what he says in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you and to me. It is Jesus who is our redemption. We're not redeemed by coming to church and making God feel good because we're here in His worship. We're not redeemed by what we put into an offering plate. We're not redeemed by building buildings and having fancy buildings. We're not even redeemed through ministries that we do, though they are good and they're great. We're not redeemed by those things. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ because He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want you to see something else that Peter tells us here. Look right on into verse 21. Who through Him believed in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Remember, Abel was justified by his faith in the sacrifice that he brings unto God. Now, we are justified before God by our faith in the Lamb that God has sent for you and I. Oh, folks. Now, I want you to see something else about this dear Lamb. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 5 with me. Because the Bible tells us that He came by necessity. The Bible tells us that He was provided by God. The Bible tells us that He was without blemish. The Bible tells us that He was a person. The Bible tells us that this person was Jesus. The Bible tells us that He's the blessed Son of God. The Bible tells us that He is our Redeemer. The Bible tells us it is by faith that we receive Christ into our lives. And because of that, the Lamb is worthy of our praise and our worship. You see, the reason that we gather in places like this every Sunday, week after week, is preparation for we get into the glory of heaven and we worship Him throughout all of eternity because the Lamb is worthy of our worship and our praise. Look at what He says. We're going to begin reading in verse 6 in chapter 5 of Revelation. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. Listen to me, people. Nobody but the Lamb of God could take the scroll out of the hand of the one that was sitting on the throne. Had to be the Lamb. Go on, read some more. Now, when He had taken the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. Baptist, you're going to be upset there, but you're going to sing a new song anyway, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall reign with Him. You are worthy," He says. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, that are all of them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever.'" He deserves our worship and our praise. And folks, this is just rehearsal for when we get to the glory of heaven and worship Him throughout all of eternity. But I want you to see something else about this Lamb. We're not done yet. God is still showing us things about this Lamb. I want you to look into Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Because here He reveals to us that the Lamb is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look at what He says in verse 14 of chapter 17 of Revelation. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called chosen and faithful. This Lamb of God is King. And He'll come. And He's coming to conquer. He's coming to overthrow an evil empire. And folks, listen to me a minute. He wins. We're on the winning team if we're on Jesus' team. If you're not on Jesus' team, you're not going to win. You're going to lose. I want you to see one last thing about the Lamb. Look over at the last chapter, chapter 22. Because the Lamb of God is eternal. The Lamb of God is eternal. Now remember, He came out of necessity for us. He came out of necessity. God provided Him. He is a Lamb without blemish. This Lamb without blemish would die on the cross. And this Lamb that dies on the cross would be a man. And this man would be Jesus. And this Jesus is our redemption. And it comes through faith in Him. And He's deserving of our worship and our praise. For He is the blessed Son of God. And He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But His kingdom never ends. Isn't that marvelous? His kingdom will never end. Look at what He says here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. The curse of sin will be gone. There'll be no more curse. But the throne of God and His Lamb shall be in it. And His servant shall serve Him. They shall see His face. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. It never comes to an end. That's the Lamb. The Lamb of God. That came because sin was creeping at the heart of Cain. Just like it creeps at our hearts. And God said unto Cain, there's a proper sacrifice. It's called the Lamb. And if you come to the Lamb that I provide for you, if you come to the Lamb without blemish, if you'll come to the Lamb that will shed His blood for you, if you will come to the Lamb that is a person, if you'll come to the Lamb that is Jesus Himself, if you'll come to the Lamb who is the blessed Son of God, if you'll come to the Lamb who is the Redeemer of the world, if you'll come to the Lamb by faith, receiving Him into your heart and your life, trusting His blood to wash you. If you'll come to the Lamb, then worship will become easy and a pleasure and a privilege. Then we'll recognize Him as King, not just of the world, but King of our lives. You see, Jesus didn't come to just save us. He came to rule us. And where Jesus is in control, sin cannot be unless we permit it. We have the power to overcome sin, the Bible says. Because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us. We have that power. And we have that power from the very moment that we receive Christ throughout all of eternity. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you met the Lamb? Do you know the Lamb? Have you come to a place where you have surrendered your life to the Lamb of God? Not just joined a church and got baptized,
but literally surrendered your heart and your life and your soul and your mind to the Lamb of God. My friend, if you have not, you're just like Cain. You're trying all these other things. And that's why you don't have peace and joy in your heart, because you never knew Jesus. You don't know Him today. And you need to know Him before you leave this place this morning. Some of you here today, you say, well, I've done that. I know I've trusted Jesus. I know Jesus is the Lord of my life. But sin still rules over me. Folks, if Jesus rules in your heart, sin can't. You got the power through the Holy Spirit to overcome it. Will you use the power that God has already given you through the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Some of you here today just need a united fellowship with this church. You live in this area. You work in this area. You just haven't joined church up here. You moved everything else. You moved your house. You moved your family. But you're leaving that church membership somewhere else. And you're just not useful to God when you leave your church membership somewhere else. And you just need to become part of this church and begin to work and minister in this church, that Christ might receive glory through your lives. Just a moment. I'm going to have a prayer. Then we're going to sing a song, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." Just the way that you are today is the way the Lamb wants you. Wherever you're at, whatever condition you're in your life, that's the way the Lamb wants you this morning. Let me ask you something. What are you going to do with the blessed Son of God? Heavenly Father, touch our hearts this morning. Only You can. Speak to us, Jesus. Change us. Oh, Holy Spirit, we've seen Jesus today. All of His marvel, all of His glory. We've seen the blessed Lamb of God. The Lamb that was sent for the sins of the world. Oh, Father, not just for the sins of the world, but for my sin. For my rebellion. And oh, Father, I thank You that I met Jesus. Thank You for the Lamb. I pray for those here today that doesn't know the Lamb, that today be the day that they stop piddling around with everything else. They stop trying everything else. They stop trying church, trying religion. They just surrender to the Lamb of God today, that they may know Jesus in all His glory. I pray, Father, for those of us that do know Jesus and we're struggling with sin in our lives, and it seems like sin just dominates us. Oh, Father, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit today, you help us see that sin has already been conquered through the blood of Jesus. And that we can overcome through the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Oh, Father, some here just have other decisions that they need to make. And I pray, Lord, that You lead them during this time. Bring them to the time of dedication and commitment. Oh, Lamb of God, begin to rule in our hearts and our lives today. For we give You the glory and praise for what's about to happen. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing "Just As I Am Without One Plea." You don't need a book. You already know the song. "Just As I Am Without One Plea." Will you come right now? Committing your life to Christ, to the Lamb of God. Will you come this morning? Are you here today and you just need to make a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ? Will you come this morning? This is your moment. This is your time right now for you to trust the Lamb and let the Lamb of God change your life. Will you do it today? Will you just come to this altar and lay that burden down to God that you've been carrying around? You know, it's sinful to carry that burden, because Jesus says, "I want to be yoked to you. I want to help you with it." Why are you carrying it? Why are you struggling with it when Jesus says, "I'll take it over. I'll take care of the problem"? Will you come today and just talk to the Lord about that? Or you need a united fellowship with this church, recommit yourself to the Lord. Will you come right now? Listen to the Spirit of God speak to your heart and come today.